Hello and welcome to episode 81 of Nerdstravaganza Podcast, where we extend the goodness of geek culture to everyone, even those who don't appreciate it. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we are happy to introduce our special host Chibipa, geek culture neophyte guest, April. Hello, April.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well. I can't wait to hear your insights into the convention we just attended and sort of this scene in general. But before we get those insights from you, we will start things off in our usual Nerdstravaganza fashion with our Geekly Weekly Roundup, wherein we discuss all the cool things that went on in our life in the past week. And since you are our guest and female, we will let you go first. April, what have you been up to this week?
Well, outside of everything we're going to talk about, I'm trying to think. I don't know. The fact that I just got a lesson on how to use my own laptop was pretty high-tech for me. I don't know. I don't think there's much. Oh, I got my loot crate this week, which was pretty exciting.
Ah, tell us.
In there, the theme this week was celebrate, so obviously getting ready for the holidays, all of them combined. Very exciting. The cute thing that was in there was a shot glass, and it was a first-person shooter shot glass.
It was a headshot glass.
It was a cute thing, and I got a speaker that looks like Stan from South Park, and it plugs into his ass, which is a bit disturbing. But that right there, retail value, probably about $20. And I got something else that I can't remember right now that was...
You got a Mighty Wallet.
I got a Mighty Wallet. Yes, I did. I got a Batman Mighty Wallet, which is made of Tyvek, and apparently you can't destroy them, which is good for me. And a deck of playing cards, which I'm sure Brian is going to steal. And
I was hoping to get them for Christmas, but you know.
Okay, then I will wrap them and they will be a surprise. And a sticker, a Doctor Who themed sticker, which I will admit publicly, I have never watched Doctor Who.
I'll take the sticker then.
So that was my loot crate, which cost $13.37 with shipping and handling. So definitely scored more than $13 worth of stuff.
Do you understand the significance of the $13.37 price point on that?
I do, because I read Reddit.
Brilliant. So Loot Crate is a sort of subscription service for those who don't know, right? And you get like cool stuff every month, right?
You get cool stuff every month. Some of it's things you can't buy in stores. Some of it's new products that are out. I've gotten a Pop Funko doll. I've gotten keychains, candy, stickers, t-shirts. Any box that has a t-shirt in it, definitely worth the money. And then you can buy it monthly, every 3 months, or every 6 months. The only bad part is that they charge you ahead. They charge you, so if you do 6 months, they charge you that full 6 months at one time, which I'm not a fan of.
What does that spell when they charge you 6 months worth?
It's a lot of money out of your bank account at one time.
All on Leet speak. Cool.
Yes. So that was, I got my Loot Crate, which I was, I have to apologize to Loot Crate because I didn't get my email saying I was getting my Loot Crate. I got the email saying they were sold out this month, so I thought I got dropped. And then I got an email finally saying it shipped, but apparently they had a huge shipping problem and none of the links worked to track your package. So then I went back to thinking I wasn't getting one, and then it came in the mail. So that's a great story.
It's a pretty holiday surprise. Fantastic.
Yes.
What about you, Brian? What have you been up to?
Dude, I don't remember anything before the weekend. I blacked out on Friday and woke up like Tuesday morning, and that was it.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, the only thing I had to do was really, as you two know, was at LAE Cosplay Photography for the extent of the convention. That was exciting. That was, I think, much better than we expected. Apparently, attention-seeking kids in costume like having their picture taken. I wasn't expecting that.
Shocking.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the panel and... That was it. Yeah, that's really all I've got is the booth.
Cool. So helping out our buddy Lester do some cosplay photography at the Chibipa convention. which was the sort of motivation for tonight's episode, the convention, that is. And, of course, our panel. Great. Let's see. My week has been consumed with next-generation gaming because I now have the PS4 and the Xbox One, and I've been playing a lot of those games.
And, I meant to ask you if your Xbox was working.
Yeah, it works fine. I know there have been all kinds of technical or well-publicized technical failures, but thankfully I seem to have lucked out so far. And I've been enjoying both of those, and that pretty much is all I've been... Oh, I got another shipment of random anime DVDs from Crunchyroll. They're pretty random. I have to see how those fit into my collection and see if I finish out any series out or anything. I will report back on that later. But that's it. Next-gen gaming, some anime DVDs, and of course, our first ever Nerd Extravaganza panel at the ChibiPaw convention, which segues us very nicely into tonight's topic, which is not necessarily our panel, which I invite our listeners to listen to in episode 80, but sort of our guest April's impressions of conventions or of a convention. Since this was kind of, I think you've been to another convention before, but this was like your first kind of hardcore anime convention. Am I right, April?
Yes, this was definitely my first hardcore focused on one theme convention.
So let me paint a picture for the audience. April's this wide-eyed, as I mentioned, sort of like a newcomer to the scene. You know, she's watched Big Bang Theory and thinks like all geeks are these attractive people who have like cute little quirks, but they're not really that far off the beaten path. That's the picture I'm painting. I'm sure she would not agree, but it's funnier to think of her having that picture in her mind as she walked in to experience full in the face the glory that is a niche con, let's say.
It's easier just to imagine me as a girl who shops at Hot Topic to buy t-shirts that say I love nerds and not exactly know what a nerd is.
Basically, yeah. I think we just described the same person.
Okay, we'll just go with that.
We describe the same person because I think they go hand in hand. Brian, do you agree?
Yeah, they're pretty similar there, man.
Yeah, so let's get this out of the way right now. There's TV's version of geeky or quirky, which is an attractive person with glasses on and a funny t-shirt with like an Atari mascot or something. And then there's reality. There's reality. You know, it's kind of like watching an adult film and then realizing that as an average person, you'll probably not live up to that in your own bedroom experiences because you're just a mortal. You're not a professional. So with all that out of the way, April, if you had to sum up your first ever anime con experience in a few words, how would you do that?
It was frightening, actually. I have to say. Well, I'm kind of pissed off because outside of like the sweaty 13-year-old with no sense of personal space and all the personal hygiene issues that go hand in hand with that, I woke up Sunday morning with like a bigger zit than I ever had when I was 13 years old. So I'm really kind of pissed about that. And then just the food quality and just the whole atmosphere was a bit overwhelming. I was exhausted when I left there, reminded of why I don't have children and why I'm not having children, because I am actually old enough to be most of those kids' mother. And the fact that I referred to them as kids frightens me. And then there was just a whole range of things that I did not understand. Like, just completely not understand. Knew none of the characters that people were cosplaying. Knew pretty much nothing anyone was talking about. And then most of the stuff that was for sale in the vendor room, it looked like a flea market, like, I don't know, not even in Japan. It like looked like a flea market in the airport when you get back from Japan.
Okay.
It was a lot. It was incredibly overwhelming.
All right. So that's quite a summing up of your con experience. Let me say you have quite a few factors working against you in terms of sort of a smooth introduction to cons in general and specifically anime conventions. The first thing is that you're coming to it later in life. You're not a 16-year-old girl. You're an adult woman, and you're walking into this having not spent your youth sort of immersed in this stuff. So Brian and I walk in, and we're not like young hip kids necessarily, so we don't know all the latest anime that everybody's watching, but we still kind of get the fandom because we were sort of proto-anime geeks back before there was anything like an anime con, I would say. Do you agree with that statement, Brian?
back when it was called Japanimation.
Yes, yes. When it was unheard of to actually use a foreign name for something, so we came up with our own, like, cheesy replacements. So anime became Japanimation because it was from Japan. That way you knew.
I remember Suncoast Video in the Broward Mall had that, like, placard over the section, Japanimation, right next to the porn.
Yeah, see, that's the section I didn't go into in Suncoast. I remember Suncoast very clearly.
Right, so see, you missed out early on, and therefore you're not prepared for this. So you don't have the exposure, and you're coming in late, and I guess in addition, you don't have a lot of subculture con-going experience. Maybe hanging out in gaming stores / comic stores experience, which would prepare you for the myriad of interpretations for the concept of personal hygiene. Let's see where to start. Oh, and let me address the vendor room thing too.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, but Lester and I had to be there all weekend, so we stayed at the hotel, and we had a pretty decent room, way up. So we were on the 7th floor, and apparently the miasma was clingy. So the lower you got, the worse it was. Stepping off the elevator was like that scene in Cool Runnings where they get to Canada for the first time. Oh, Jesus. Sorry. That was my story.
Let's be honest, and I'm saying this as somebody who is into this stuff. Let's be honest, though. There's a certain funk that permeates really all human gatherings, but conventions in particular. I'm not going to try to pretend there isn't. So I guess expect that, April, if you plan on attending cons in the future, because it's a reality that you're not going to escape.
It's a lot of people in a small area.
But good personal hygiene is important. I don't think there's a certain funk that permeates all human gatherings. I mean, you go to the mall, it's not necessarily like a con, and you go to a Grateful Dead concert, and there's a different smell.
Well, that's because they're using cover-ups, let's be honest.
Let me just say I'm grateful that I carry with me my own Bath & Body Works spray that I use throughout the day just to encase myself in a good-smelling smell so I didn't have to smell anything outside of that.
You probably should use that on some of the attendees.
I would gladly hand out, like, hand sanitizer and deodorant, but I didn't
want to... And little pamphlets.
Upset the people I was with that I was being offensive.
Well, look, hygiene in the sort of geekosphere, if you will, it's an issue. I mean, the stereotypes about the maladjusted geek, you know, have some basis in truth, because there is a certain subset of geeks, nerds, whatever you want to call them, fanboys, that don't really understand what it is to take care of yourself. And I mean, we have not only experienced it ourselves going to cons and stuff, but we know people who run different shops and everything who more or less said the same thing. Like, you know, they've had to excuse people from their, they've had to kind of politely eject people who were really malodorous from their stores, you know, which I can't even imagine how awkward that is. But I guess some people just don't have a clue. Like, they think deodorant and bathing is just completely optional. And, you know, for whatever reason, those people on kind of the margins of society gravitate towards, like, cartoons and...
Well, they don't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
They don't have their mom there telling them to shower.
Maybe their mom should be there telling them to shower. I mean, is this really our problem?
There needs to be some responsibility taken at home. I will point out that at Tate's in the gaming center, there is a sign in the bathroom that pretty much tells you if you pee on the seat, floor, wall, if you make a mess in the bathroom, you will not be allowed to use the bathroom there ever again.
Now, what does that tell you? What does that tell you that sign had to be posted? I mean,
I'd hate to see the alley behind it.
But every sign is there for a reason, so it makes you wonder. And the bathroom there is actually very clean. I don't mind using the bathroom there. It's getting from the front of the store to the bathroom that sometimes is an issue.
Because of the odor.
Eye-watering.
Yes.
So we're talking now, Tate's sort of the flagship comic institution here in our Fort Lauderdale area has a gaming satellite, and I don't think this is peculiar to Tate's gaming satellite. I think all gaming stores suffer from this problem, which is the same, let's say, target demographic or a sister demographic of the kind we see at cons shows up and they don't take deodorant seriously. And as a consequence, there is a funk that permeates those places just as there is a con. And let me ask you this. If they can put a sign in the bathroom saying don't, like, you know, defecate and urinate on the floor, why can't they put a big, like, sign on the front door, like, you can't stink. If you stink, you have to leave. Or would they basically be alienating, like, their entire customer base in that case?
We need a grumpy bartender. We don't serve their kind!
I think a sign on the door would mean maybe the two of you could enter, but very few others probably could go back there.
Well, let's say that all of the venues around our area or all around the world got together and like, you know what? We're going to, like, put out an industry-wide, like, standard sign, standard size, standard lettering that just, like, shows, like, a guy raising his armpit and, like, spraying deodorant on. Like, you must do this before you enter.
You must be this clean to enter.
Like, right. The employees must wash their hands before going back to work.
Like, gamers must wash their asses before entering the store.
That's a very marketable idea. We need to make the, we need those signs. We'll make
I'm registering our store envy as we speak.
Warning, if I can smell you before you reach the register, don't bother reaching the register.
GamersToShower.com.
It's really peculiar, and you know what I think might be the cure for this, although I might be giving women too much credit? The fact that women are increasingly represented in this scene or in the scenes of which we're speaking maybe will lead to the guys cleaning up their act a little. Those that even acknowledge the fact that women are present and what that might mean might clean up their act. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think there's a whole panel opportunity here.
Hygiene?
Well, and I was warned in advance that I couldn't harp on hygiene issues, but there could even be a panel on, you know, how to get a girl and keep her, and keeping her would involve bathing.
But keeping her might also involve not going to a con all the time. So, I mean, you know, there's and this kind of gets me into my point. I'm assuming it was Brian who forewarned you about the hygiene issues.
Yeah, I mean, I had a few gaming satellite experiences, and then we went to SuperCon, and that was my first experience, and that was actually a lot more overwhelming.
Well, that's a much larger crowd of the same people.
There were two differences here. So at SuperCon, it was more of the I felt completely molested by the time I got out of there because the young boys rubbing up against you because they have no concept of personal space on top of the smell. And then here, it was actually the girls that were worse as far as the personal space and poor interaction skills. Yet the guys still had the smell issue going on.
So even the geekiest girl is conscious of her own body odor and takes measures to reduce it.
Thankfully. I thank puberty for that because they probably have a whole ton of other issues going on that they got to deal with. But the girls were really bad at this with no concept of personal space.
Well, let me say in response to those observations that while I agree that we need to work on personal space issues, especially among like the young attendees of the type we saw at this convention, and as well the hygiene issues, my reaction when I hear you coming in as kind of a newcomer is to get a little bit defensive because you have to understand that right now there's this phenomenon of, geeky is cool, and you see everyone and his brother or her sister, to not be sexist, running around proclaiming some sort of geek affiliation, or, oh, I'm such a nerd, or I played Atari when I was a kid, etc.
I played N64 when I was a kid.
Right. It's like loud and proud to be a geek right now. Well, I suspect that's going to blow over at some point, and when it does, we're going to be left with a certain core audience again, and right now that core audience stinks and doesn't respect personal space.
They shouldn't breed, so maybe in the future we'll just have to start grooming new geeks.
Well, I was going to suggest another solution which didn't border on eugenics, actually, so if you can hear me out, we have this unprecedented window wherein the popular focus, or at least a slice of the popular focus, is on our little world. We can use this to adopt some mainstream habits without selling out to the mainstream. Those mainstream habits include Right Guard, Old Spice, and soap, and other products. And then when all these cool kids decide to move on to the next thing, And by the way, this is a great time for me to mention to you, dear listeners, that you should check out episode 32, Cool Kids on the Playground, where we talk about this very issue. Before those cool kids move on to the next playground, I think we can take from them certain habits which make them cool kids without ourselves becoming the cool kids. And I'm really talking about present company excluded. Brian and I are pretty good about bathing a couple times a month, I think.
April could use some work.
Yes.
That's why I use hand sanitizer all the time. It covers it up.
Okay. Good to know. I want to add that I really think we're not talking about having to convert everybody here. I think there's probably it works in the same way immunization does. You don't have to immunize 100% of the people. You just have to hit that critical percentage so that the virus stops spreading. So if we can get enough people deodorized, we'll stop the stench. Because one kid will think, hey, my friends don't use deodorant. I don't have to. You know, that's the problem now. Now he's going to be a little harder pressed to find the friends that don't use deodorant. So he's going to feel pressured to do it himself. And even more encouraging is the fact that I think it's only a subset of the congoing gamer scene that doesn't bathe. So I really think we can do this. I think we, the Nerdstravaganza podcast, can lead this effort.
I don't think it's a subset of the congoing scene. I think it is a subset of the nerd scene, which is the congoing scene.
Sure, that's fair. That's a good way to put it. But you agree, I mean, it's not everybody that's into anime or games or any of the things we talk about here on our fine podcast is a stinky pits, right?
No, I mean, we're definitely not pointing out everyone that listens to this as they smell.
We like most of you.
A large portion of the people I was trapped in the elevator with over the course of the weekend could use a good hose down.
All right, so we'll take that. We'll take that as constructive criticism from a newcomer. But I really need to drive home the point for you, April, that this is like our scene. Like a lot of these issues, if you're going to hang with us, you're going to have to deal with this, and you're going to have to be part of the solution. Because the nerdy chick from CSI isn't going to show up to one of these cons. She's not real. They made her up for the show. You know, she's not really representative of anything. So don't expect that.
Point taken. Sales at Bath & Body Works will go up dramatically as I buy body spray and hand sanitizer in bulk.
April, who did we see at the Indie Bazaar that was doing R2-D2 soap?
Oh, see, and exactly, they should have been in the vendor room. They're called Mad Scientist Labs or something. I can look that up. There is a company locally that makes geek-themed soaps, and they would have been a perfect vendor there in the vendor room. Soap? It's R2-D2, it's Batman, it's everything.
We need to enlist them.
Yes. Maybe not even as just a vendor, but if we wanted to promote them, when we hand out things at our next convention panel, it could include deodorant and soap.
That'll go over well.
Well, I think if it's got, like, if you had a deodorant stick that was in an R2-D2 thing, like, hey, you get some R2-D2 deodorant. Hey, how about you win? You, kid, you randomly win the deodorant. Why don't you try it on right now? No, really. I think there's a way, especially if you geek it up, like the people, the manufacturers of that soap you just mentioned do. I think you've got a real potential there.
It's Pokemon scented.
What does a Pokemon smell like? See, there you go. That's a panel.
What does a Pokemon smell like? Yeah.
Right. And then you get in there, you lock them in the room, and you teach them good personal hygiene.
Pikachu likes bathing. That's why he's clean.
Pikachu's an electric type. He can't bathe.
I was warned in advance of this that I couldn't just harp on how bad it smelled there.
Yeah, here you are trying to beat it up again, so go on.
No, I mean, there were some other things. There were some cute moments that some other items outside of the smell. But there were some things still along the, you know, lines of the autism Asperger's spectrum that were a bit overwhelming.
Some encounters you had with attendees?
Yeah, just a lot of the how people interact with each other, how they speak, things they speak about, the inappropriateness of things.
For instance, when something's clearly going on in front of you and you're curious as to what it is, how do you respond?
Ooh, may I come up with a suggestion? I don't know. If I was to walk into a panel room, say, and I saw an ongoing panel, like just to let them know I was there, I'd probably walk in and be like, "What's going on in here?" That might be an approach.
Oh, I almost fell out of my chair during that.
So to our audience, that really happened during our panel. We had a rather large young man come barging into our panel mid-panel while we were talking to an audience member in a panel room doing a panel in what was clearly a panel. And at the top of his lungs, "What's going on in here?"
And that's the stereotype of the people. And I guess it was just a bit much to actually see the stereotype in person. You don't truly think that there's people like that that exist. And then there he was right in front of me. It was,
yes.
It was hard. It was hard not to laugh. And then I felt guilty because I wanted to laugh at him.
Yeah, well, he exists. Now, I'm not going to defend him. I'm not going to defend that kind of foolishness, but you need to expect it, unfortunately, because they're there. Just like the rowdy guy at the football game that nobody likes. I mean, he's there. He's going to be there. The drunk sports fan, you know?
Every group has stereotypes, and stereotypes are true for a reason, because people behave in that way. And it is heartwarming to know that those stereotypes have a place to go and a place to be. But it's also entertaining from the outside. And I hate saying that, but it's true. It's entertaining from the outside to see that every group, however they might be played down or bullied or picked on in the outside world, every group has a sanctuary. And the gods of the anime con, they live it up and they enjoy their life being that way. It's all like sad and weepy and, you know, watching kids' moms drop them off. That was cute and sweet. Also kind of sad.
Also kind of irresponsible. And maybe the moms could stick around next time. Just saying.
Well, the little girl that was crying that she lost her stuff, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, where the hell is her mother?
Okay, that's another con phenomenon I noticed, is that parents do... If I had a kid, I don't think I'd be comfortable dropping my kid off at a convention. Not until the kid was, like, 16. You know what I mean?
I have a really interesting interaction about that. There was a mom at Lester's booth, and her kid was dressed as Mad Moxie. Tom, I'm sure you know what that means, but April may not. You might want to Google that image. It basically means panties and a bustier with like a red coat on over it.
And how old was this child?
She had to sign a minor consent form, so she was under 18, although I didn't seek further. And her mom was just like, yeah, I'm not really comfortable with the clothes, but that's what she wanted to do.
But I'm not the parent, so, you know, what do you want me to do?
I would have been beaten into submission when I was 16 if I wanted to do something my mom didn't approve of.
Well, and now let's have a strange man take her photo in the middle of a con and do whatever with it.
Pay a strange man to.
See, I don't. There's a reason I'm not a parent, and that's probably one of them.
In defense of the extended nerd extravaganza family, there were stranger men that could have taken her photo, so.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not saying anything bad about Lester, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but we're strangers to them, and yeah. It's not for me to judge. I don't have a kid, but it is for me to question as an outside observer, I think.
The weekend was definitely phenomenal birth control. I will say that.
So you came away from the convention, this admittedly a little bit younger skewed convention, determined never to have a child.
Yeah, you know, I already knew that I wasn't really mom material, and looking at that, I was frightened and knew that if I had a child that they would probably fall into that realm. And no birth and babies here.
That's awful. So you find the very existence of this nerd subset of humanity a form of birth control, and you dare hang out with us on the Nerdstravaganza podcast? I'm offended.
Wow, you just made me sound like a horrible person.
Well.
No, just, it was very overwhelming, and just the whole thought of this is where we are in 2013, add 13 years onto that, 14 years onto that, what will it be in the future? I mean, a lot of kids there were very young to be unsupervised. There were very young kids that were staying in that hotel, most likely unsupervised.
Again, I had the honor of roaming the hotel halls at 2 a.m. Yep, they were unsupervised.
You heard them being unsupervised in their rooms, did you?
The second floor was an interesting experience.
Let's say this, though. To us, a kid might actually be a young, like, what we see as a kid might have been a young adult. Like, I'm really hoping that parents aren't letting their, like, children stay unsupervised in a hotel overnight.
I don't know. I mean, I can't figure out age anyway because all the hormones. That one girl that we were talking to about photos turned out to be 13, and I would have thought she was at least 17.
you need to seek medical help. You need to seek help, April. I think you've got an issue.
I have an issue?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is, but it sounds like an issue for sure.
So it definitely was an eye-opener. It was a lot. It definitely was a lot. Odd conventions in my world are a completely different thing, more education-focused.
Yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't live up to the excitement of historic preservation, but we'll try better next time.
And Renaissance fairs as history don't always cut it. I would just like to point that out as a historic preservationist.
I would say Renaissance fairs don't even try to cut it. But you know what? I have more fun at a not cutting it at Renaissance fair than I'm sure I would at your dry historic preservation meetings.
Thomas, yes. I object. I object. Knights would suplex each other off their horses all the time.
I did find the medieval flying elbow to be very authentic, actually. So, yes. And now we're referencing a recent Renfest that we went to. We could do a whole different show about that, but I really felt that the anime convention perfectly captured the con scene within the nerd world. So I'm glad you got to experience that with us, April. What are the odds on a scale of 1 to 10 that you would attend another such convention?
I'll definitely go to another convention. I want to go to more that from outsider's point of view. I don't watch TV, so things like this are entertaining to me. This is my version of television. It's just kind of like when you go to a concert for the first time and then you learn the ropes and you know what to do the next time. Alcohol will definitely be involved, possibly a flask. And it's worth going again. It's definitely entertaining. It's definitely fun. Kind of scary. Happy I missed the pool party.
Well, there you have it, folks. April is somebody you might be hearing about. And even from going forward, she has helped us immensely through the Extravaganza podcast with all of our social media and so on. But feel free to give her as much grief as you want on our social media until she is signed on as a full-on nerd. Because you heard her with her detached, I'm an outside observer stance on things. I don't think she's all in just yet. Brian, do you agree?
She sounds a little half-assed.
Yeah. I mean, you sound like that Herzog guy that does like the documentaries. The nerd and his natural habitat is interesting to observe. Like, you sound like that guy, April.
I could do that. I could do an entire mockumentary on a con. I would be proud of that.
Look for the Nerd Extravaganza series of mockumentaries on con life, coming soon.
I do have to tell you, talking about social media, there is on Instagram somebody that worked at the Hilton posted on Instagram this whole, I was driving to work this morning and almost ran over someone in this crazy ass costume, and then get to work to realize there's a convention happening at the hotel and it's impossible for me to do my job and it's just out of control this weekend, but damn, these girls are hot.
Wow, an actual compliment.
Yes.
They probably got fired for it.
So if you look up hashtag ChibiPaw, that's there on Instagram.
Hashtag use discretion when posting to ChibiPaw, because not only are damn those girls hot, damn, they're not legal, dude. What are you doing? Awesome. We will, I can't promise we'll link that up, but it sounds like an interesting thing to link up in the show notes. Legality sort of notwithstanding. Brian, what do you think?
Hey, it's not me, so.
Cool. So hashtag ChibiPaw. Check it out, folks. And any final thoughts about this particular convention, April, conventions in general, being a fake nerd girl, et cetera?
I never claim to be a nerd. I like things within the nerd lifestyle. I don't wear a t-shirt that says I love nerds, and I don't shop at Hot Topic. I'm about 20 years too old for that. But I definitely will go to more cons. Of course, now I'll be not only an outsider, but probably hated because I am slowly, secretly, silently mocking and laughing at everyone. But I can live with that.
We will be sure to point you out. Actually, we're going to get you a t-shirt to wear saying, I'm mocking you on the inside.
I will wear that proudly.
I'm sure you will. Most of the people won't even get it, so at least I think they won't. You know what? I think that would be a hit. I think the irony behind that would be appreciated. You agree, Brian?
There's got to be like some kind of weird, obscure character that's known for silently mocking people that we can cosplay her as.
I bet we give her that shirt and she gets approached like, oh my God, you're so-and-so from such-and-such. Oh, wow. We're gonna have a whole fan base surrounding you of like teenage girls with no sense of personal space just swarming you. Mommy, mommy, you're going to love it.
That is my worst nightmare.
Oh my God, I can't wait. All right, well, if there are no further comments or questions or banter that we want to put forth, I think we can call this episode a wrap once we get to our usual farewell housekeeping. Anything else, guys?
I got nothing.
Okay, in that case, I've got something. I've got a suggestion for all of our listeners and people who found us through our recent con panel at ChibiPop. Check us out on iTunes. Rate us favorably and write us an awesome review. And if you're more into streaming, check us out on Stitcher, where we are also prominently featured. Maybe not so prominently, but we are featured somewhere on the list.
And like us on Facebook, plus one us on G+, Graham Cracker us on Instagram at #ChibiPaw. Apparently you can find us there.
And of course, check out our website, nerdtravaganza.com, and feel free to drop us any hate email you have for April at nerdtravaganza@gmail.com. We will be sure to embellish it, kind of multiply the hate before passing it on to her. We will also see about publicly shaming her on social media. It should be fun. Let's do this as a community, folks. With that said, I think we can let April take it out with a fond farewell to the congoing gaming anime fan audience. Go ahead, April. You get the final word as our guest.
Oh my God, what was the thing that guy said from... What was the Star Search thing? Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars? What was that?
I take it back. I'll have the final word.
I was going to say something about bathing.
Let's just leave it at this. Bathe. Bye.